Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Long Beach Peninsula is part of an area we call the Columbia Pacific Region, which encompasses northwest Oregon and southwest Washington. The Astoria-Megler Bridge connects us, as residents of both states go back and forth to enjoy the charms and commerce of each place. There are a lot of innovative things happening on the Long Beach Peninsula, and today I have in the studio City of Long Beach, Washington, Community Development Director Gail Borchard, and the manager of the newly hatched Columbia Pacific Farmers Market there, Jane Holman. Welcome, Jane. Thank you for being in the studio today.
Good morning.
And it's nice to see you again, Gail.
Thank you, Donna. Glad to be here.
Before we talk about the doings on the Long Beach Peninsula, let's talk a little bit about each of you and what you do. And Gail, why don't you start first?
Well, Community Development Director means I'm, and I'm saying this in quotes, the planner for the City of Long Beach, which long-range planning, short-range planning, special projects such as the farmers market, and day-to-day at the counter, you know, assisting people with their issues.
How long have you been doing that?
Right around 2 years now.
And did you grow up in this area?
I didn't. I'm a relative newcomer. I've been here, in June, 7 years. I came when I turned 50 years old. I had been a planner, seems like forever, in California, and made the grand gesture and left it all behind and came here.
So, all right. Long Beach Peninsula feels like home now to you.
Oh, it is home now to me, yes.
Okay. And Jane, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my husband and I moved here in 1989 and built and operated a motel for 18 years and then retired. And now I'm gainfully employed again.
Retirement just isn't what it used to be, is it?
No.
No, not at all.
And I understand that you actually put together the Kite Festival?
I am chairman of the Washington State International Kite Festival over in Long Beach. I've worked with the Kite Festival in one capacity or another since about 1991.
Have you seen a tremendous growth in people coming for the Kite Festival?
Well, you know, we're not a gated event, and so we can't count people.
Oh, that's correct, of course.
So
it's just free. People just show up and fly kites. And
people just show up, register for events, watch, just enjoy the vendors and everything that goes on. It's a lot of fun for a full week.
Flying a kite makes you smile.
Yes, it does.
It's a good thing for us to do. And we have wind. We have the wind to do it with.
Oh, definitely.
Well. Yes. And as Community Development Director, and you've been doing this for a couple of years, but you've lived in this area now for almost 8 years, what changes have you seen on the Long Beach Peninsula in terms of community development and those kinds of issues you deal with?
Well, I can tell you currently what's happening in Long Beach. Our new big change is we have a brand new water plant. I know that doesn't sound terribly sexy, but we're very excited at the City of Long Beach. It came in substantially below the engineer's estimates for what it would cost. It's working well, and we couldn't be more proud.
Well, water and food, I mean, those are the vital things. We have to survive.
And air.
Yes, air, water, food, exactly. So, and let's talk about this new farmers market, because they are just sprouting up everywhere. Mm-hmm. Alternatives to packaged, processed food at grocery stores are suddenly more available to everyone. How did this idea come to be, and why did the City of Long Beach decide to sponsor a farmers market?
I can tell you how it came to be. When I moved to the peninsula, I felt like nobody that moves there should try to change what it fundamentally is. But there's a few niceties of my life in California that I missed. This is what I call sneaking a washcloth onto the peninsula. When you go to my mother's house, there's never a washcloth in the guest bathroom. So you don't burn her house down. You just sneak a washcloth into the guest bathroom. And this is a washcloth we're sneaking onto the peninsula. I came from a place where there were always farmers markets and other sorts of street markets. They end at Linda. Wonderful festival atmosphere. They honor a way of life, which is certainly what we're trying to do here, of hard work with your hands and breaking your back to make a living in the Columbia Pacific region. And they bring fresh, wholesome food. We have spectacular food here. And I'd like to see that just be part of what people recognize us for and remember when they come and visit.
Already there is the Iwako Saturday Market. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. How does that differ? That's been going on for quite a long time. And that will differ from this market, because theirs is a Saturday market in Iwako, and yours will be a Friday afternoon evening market.
That's correct. The main difference is that the Iwako market is not a farmer's market. They have arts and crafts, cooked food vendors. They do have some produce vendors in season, but their focus is definitely not fresh food. And that is what we're going to be doing. We're not going to go into the arts and crafts or the cooked food.
All right. So you're planning to have wholesome fresh food from rivers, mountains, seas, lakes, all of that, and entertainment.
Yes. Yesterday, the city of Long Beach poured a 30 by 40 foot stage. We had 12 gentlemen crawling around like ants on an anthill, each with his own job. It was a beautiful pour. We have the stage fully booked except for Kite Festival week. We're waiting to see what might fall then. But it's fully booked for the summer. Every Friday from 3:30 to about 6:30, we'll have entertainment on that stage as the farmer's market is running. We'll have 8 to 10 picnic tables out there with games and children's activities so the kids can be watched over while parents are shopping. And it should be just a blast. Long Beach is a place where people come to have fun. That's really the theme of the place, is it's fun to be there. And we're trying to provide a broad array of fun there.
So that when people say, oh, I have to do the grocery shopping, they don't groan and say, I'm going to stand in line. And they say, oh, I get to do my grocery shopping for the week, and I'm going to the farmer's market. Yeah. And it is in downtown Long Beach, and it will be happening from 3 to 7 p.m. starting on May 6th, which is Friday. The first Friday of May.
Yes. Starts on Friday, May 6th, and it goes through the end of September.
All right.
So every Friday.
And I would like to just now briefly tell people your mission statement, because I think it's so well written. And there's a really key phrase in here. The mission of the Columbia Pacific Farmers Market is to strengthen the health of our citizens and visitors, increase sales of our regional food producers and local businesses, improve the environment, and build community. We will accomplish this mission by providing a marketplace where farmers, fishers, growers, and producers will directly sell their fresh, regionally sourced goods to consumers, and where community members can come together on a regular basis in a pleasant, safe, and festive atmosphere. The thing that really strikes me is to strengthen the health of our citizens and visitors. And this is about food. It's about fresh food, which means the city of Long Beach, and as all of these farmers markets are blossoming everywhere, people are beginning to realize food is medicine. Food is what keeps us healthy.
I think it's the old-fashioned you are what you eat. And the good thing is we have spectacular, healthy foods to eat here.
Have you had a chat? Then let's talk about how you found the vendors, because you've been planning this for some time. You have an advisory committee. How did that all work?
The way this developed is there's a 13 people from the community who put their hands up when we asked for volunteers.
Did they have dirt on their hands? Did they say, I'm growing things?
Some of them do. Larkin Stance is there. He has dirt on his hands. Some of them are with groups that are about children or health, or sort of represent a sector. But some are simply citizens that just want to help, which is really Long Beach Peninsula has volunteers in spades. With people volunteer all the time for multiple things. And those 13 people have worked their tails off. They did a feasibility study. We've come up with a handbook. We've come up with all the vendor applications. They have worked diligently and hard for, I would say, close to a year now. And from that, there were people that part of the job is to look for vendors. And it is, I have to say, the hardest part of the job. It's hard to convince people to come to a new market, even though we know it's going to be fantastic with the entertainment aspect of it. And we'll have plenty of customers, I have no doubt. We have people clamoring for this already. But you don't get them the first call. You keep calling, you connect. And Jane may want to talk a little bit about who we have that we know are coming already.
Well, we have a... I can't remember the number. Let's see. We have... The Zimmerman Farm, the Veggie Girls. Ah, here we go. Green Angel Garden, of course, which is Larkin Stance. Rutabaga Ranch, and that's a new farm on the peninsula.
Rutabaga Ranch. Now, I'm going to expect to be able to find rutabagas then, right? And a recipe for how to cook rutabagas.
Perhaps later in the year. Okay. I think rutabagas take a little while.
Exactly,
yes.
Okay.
Fred Johnson of Nacelle. Crangaima, right. Which is a local cranberry and blueberry farm, Smith Creek Greenhouse, Holcomb Acres, Jacobs Creamery, Silverleaf Farm,
So we'll have a variety.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll have seafood. And and your reach really is just you're trying to find food that's grown. I think you mentioned the number of counties.
We've polled about six counties. It was very inelegant. I sort of put my finger on Pacific County and said, who touches it and who's right around it? So that's where we're drawing from. And mostly people who are closer to us than further from us have been most responsive.
What is the population on the Long Beach Peninsula?
Just under 10,000.
And you gave me a statistic before we came in there. You said something about the Cannon Beach market, the Cannon Beach Farmers Market was the only, why don't you talk about that for a minute?
I believe it's the only food-only market left in Oregon. I may be misspeaking, but I think it is. It doesn't have crafts. It doesn't have hot cooked food. It's sort of the model for our market. We got to that market through Kristen Albrecht, who developed that market and does lots of food things around here. She's remarkably experienced, well-informed, and generous, really generous with her time and her knowledge.
And she does Food Talk the first Monday of each month here on KMUN.
So we modeled it after that. And
then it sounds to me like you said that even though Cannon Beach is just a city of very few people, they weren't marketing to visitors.
Right. Their market is about 10 blocks south of their visitor area. I believe their population is about 1,600, yet they serve more than 2,000 people in that market a week. They do clicker head counts, and they know really who they're serving. We, on the other hand, on the Long Beach Peninsula, has between our permanent population, our visitors, and our summer population is very large. You know, they come for the whole entire summer. There's around 20 to 24,000 people on any one day on the Long Beach Peninsula. So we are marketing to visitors. So I think we'll have a very profitable market for people. I hope they just don't sell out in the first 10 minutes, really.
Ah, that's right. Having enough produce is a challenge, too. So there are many, many factors that come together. Finding the farmers, the producers, the people who are making the handcrafted cheeses and the oyster, the oyster men, oyster women, who are going to bring those to the market. And then, and you won't know because May 6th is your first day to see what happens.
Right. And I think early on, we were expecting plant starts. So if you want to grow your garden, we expect to see people down there. We wake up in the middle of the night going, how can they sell more? How can they sell more? What can we do? And one of the things is to have them bring plant starts rather than produce in May is probably, there will be some, don't get me wrong, but there will be lots of ways for people to participate in that market and lots of things. And I didn't mean to give the impression there wouldn't be any cooked food. There can be prepackaged cooked food, such as baked items or products that are value-added products like pastas, but we simply won't combine ingredients on. There won't be somebody making tacos there. There won't be somebody cooking a sandwich or a hamburger for you and handing it to you. It's
however,
hot cooked
food. Yes, if you're doing your shopping and you want to buy, as you said, a bakery item or something, you can do that. You can munch your way through and purchase things. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. And I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I have in the studio City of Long Beach, Washington Community Development Director Gail Borchard and the manager of the newly hatched Columbia Pacific Farmers Market there, Jane Holman. You will have eggs there, right, Jane?
I believe so.
Oh, good. Eggs are important. Yes. And one of the things I think is really important, too, the fact that young people are starting to go into farming and that people want to make connections with farmers and want to make connections, human connections, when they're shopping. Why don't you tell us a little bit about an article you just discovered?
Somebody sent me an article from the New York Times regarding a young couple in Corvallis that are going into farming. And I've been a little surprised at all these young people, Farmer Fred and others who were going into farming. I couldn't quite figure out why they were doing this, whether it was the economy and if it turned around, then they would not be farmers. It really isn't that if this article's got it. It's that they have a deep and abiding respect for food and the quality of that food and the freshness of that food, and they're committed. They're just completely committed to this. It's really astounding. I just see young person after young person. Rutabaga Ranch, Arwen Norman, I don't know how old she is, but she's not an old lady like me. She's a young person starting out fresh on a farm.
Food, but let's think about all the things food. Food is sustenance for our lives. It is community. It is It is delicious. It is fun. I mean, food is really, I mean, I know that I actually have some friends, young people in their 20s, and they live for what they're going to eat that day. What is going to be the delicious thing they're going to eat, and which herbs are they going to use? And it's a really creative and wonderful thing to see these young people doing that. One of the other things I want to mention is, if you want to the listening audience here, if you want to find out more about this market, or if you are growing some things, some herbs or whatever that you think you'd like to be a vendor, you can go to the Long Beach, Washington website, and that's longbeachwa.gov. There's a page on the Columbia Pacific Farmers Market there. You can also go to funbeach.com and find out more about it. Or you could call Gail, the community development director, or Jane. How would people reach you, Jane?
Probably my cell phone would be best. That's 360-244-9155.
And that's, I know, if you're listening or driving in your car, you don't have a pen or a piece of paper. So we will leave that phone number here at the station. And if you want to call KMUN anytime today, we will have Jane's phone number, because maybe you know someone who's growing something, or you have questions, or you want to know about the entertainment. I think it's terrific you're going to do things for children, too.
Yes, we'll have several of our tables set aside for children's activities. So if you're shopping, your kids can be coloring or, you know, doing a little craft project while you're out dancing and shopping.
Dancing and shopping at the same time. Okay. And you also mentioned that you can do a circuit. You can go to your market, the Columbia Pacific Farmers Market on the Long Beach Peninsula, on Friday from 3 to 7. And then...
You could start at the new Thursday River People's Market in Astoria.
Right. Oh, okay. Start there.
That's a food-only market, too. Then Long Beach. And then you could go to Saturday El Waco Market, and you come right back to Astoria on Sunday. So you could actually sell at four different markets in a weekend's time and never leave the region where you grew your food or obtained your food. I think that's really important.
And the other piece of this is, people want to buy locally because of gas prices.
Yes, they do. As we've discussed offline here, I can't imagine what the good in is separating food from the source of the food from the consumer. What is served by having that distance get longer and longer? It doesn't serve the environment. It doesn't serve the economy, and it doesn't serve human health. And so that's part of what we're trying to do, is shrink that distance.
In a way, it's almost like, well, but we've become somewhat spoiled. Like, we're going to have a mango, which doesn't grow here, to my knowledge. We'll have a mango in December, let's say, because it's been shipped thousands of miles to us from wherever it's grown. And a macrobiotic way of eating is really seasonal. It's what is growing in your region seasonally. And I've actually heard that if you do eat seasonally and regionally, it can help with allergies. I mean, there are people who have all kinds of allergies because they're not eating food from where they're really, the area they're living in.
Well, yes. I think if you want to eat a mango, you're going to have to go outside the Columbia Pacific region to find it. But, you know, the question is, should you really expect to have tomatoes 12 months out of the year? Because you know the tomatoes you get when they're in season are far better than the ones you get that aren't in season. And when you see how they're taken, they're put green, they're grown for their shipability, not particularly for how they taste. You just kind of have to decide what do you want to put in yourself? You know, and we're trying to make that a healthier choice for everyone, including children. I think it's important to realize getting them fresh local food and getting them to understand that you can get fresh local food is important.
It's almost like there's a revolution going on with food. It really is. If the New York Times is writing about this, and young people are going into farming, and people are saying, wait, these additives in our food and this processed food, maybe autism is linked to some of the kinds of things that we're eating. If we just looked at how people ate, how they grew things and they ate before, I think that's what we're doing. We're stepping back, I guess, a little bit in the past, but we're bringing in all of the new technology to help us right now in this particular moment in time.
Oh, I agree. And I think that on a broader scale, it's a little hard to have a discussion with someone about some broader issues when they still don't understand that carrots don't come in a plastic bag. You know, some of this is about getting people to fundamentally understand where their food comes, and to understand that, you know, you truly are part of a system. You know, the very ground you walk on is the ground your food grows in. The very water you see go by you in the river is the water that goes into your food. You know, you're linked to all that.
I would think that schools are beginning to have gardens, and young people are learning to grow their own food. Mm-hmm. And so farmers may be the new heroes. What do you think, Jane?
That's very possible, yes. Most everyone I know has at least a small garden plot, you know, to grow some vegetables.
And we have a temperate climate here. We have where people can grow things, and we know Larkin has a greenhouse so that he can grow things all year long. What do you hope people will say after experiencing this and after being part of this market? Because you're opening on May 6th. You're going to be running until September. What's your hope about, you know, the success of the market or what will happen?
Well, I hope that the market is here to stay, because I think that it can have an impact on everyone, you know, in the area. It's always better to know where your food comes from and what it is.
The other thing is, though, we talked about briefly, is that people want to make connections. And let's say that I'm going to buy a rutabaga, for example, and I'm going to meet, you know, Jennifer, who grew the rutabaga. I'm going to feel good about the fact that she knows about it, and she's going to say, you know, here's an easy way to make a rutabaga that is so delicious, and maybe she's going to give me a little recipe. And we're going to have that human connection, which people really are wanting. That's another whole key component of farmers markets. People want to make those connections.
I will tell you, I had no idea what this would link you to. This takes you so far out into other places. One of the small things we realized is that our Grange has been resurrected on the peninsula, and they have some absolutely fantastic food classes. So what we hope to do, we have one of the Grange members is on our advisory board, is I hope to run our trolley from the market to the Grange for those classes and then bring them back. And so you can, I mean, that would really be an experience on Long Beach. You get on a little trolley, you toddle over to the Grange, which is a mile or two away. You take a class in whatever they have that day, food preserving, drying vegetables, whatever it is, and then come on back. It's these tentacles, food goes everywhere. And we're just discovering that, you know.
Yes, and I was just at a conference with Reagan Andrew, with the City of Long Beach, and she is talking about a lot of the new package tours that are going on the Long Beach Peninsula. And I can see local people taking advantage of this, but also people who come in and say, oh, I can go to this market and I can go learn about food, preserving food and things. And this has become, it's just like knitting is suddenly coming back. All these young people are knitting, they're preserving food, they're canning, they're doing things. It's very exciting.
Something's happening right here, too. There's clearly something happening in the food culture of the Columbia Pacific region right now. I came over to the Farmer Fisher Gathering that was held at the Blue Scorcher a couple of months ago. And roads were flooded to the south, and I believe they were flooded to the east. And that room was still, I don't know where they would have put the people if everybody could have gotten there that was coming. The room was packed full of people, young people mostly, but a lot of middle-aged people like me too, who are dedicated to the food culture here. And it's very, I'm not sure what's all going to happen, which is sort of the fun of it. But this is definitely building up some momentum again.
And I also want to say that I'm so impressed. Karen Black and Christopher Patton of the Titanic Lifeboat Academy have been talking for years about how important it is for us to take care of ourselves here locally and regionally. And food is one way to do it, because we all know when the storm of 2007 happened, we were cut off. And where would our food supplies come from if you're not having, I mean, you know, the trucks aren't coming in and delivering things from Australia. So it's really economically intelligent to create a community which is based on local resources, local crafts, local food growing, all of that. And you're in economic development. Community
yes,
development.
I am. In part, I am. I think we're just, like you're saying, we're all part of a big web here. Well, maybe a smaller web than other places, but we're a small place. I don't want to sound like a survivalist, but I do think that some security in your food system is what you're looking for. You know, people want a system where you have a small, maybe truck farm every few miles or every 10 miles, 20 miles from one another is a way to have some security in where your food's coming from and to support somebody locally. I mean, some of this is about simply honoring what people have done here for hundreds of years, the way they've made their living and the way we eat here.
Well, it is an intelligent thing because I watched, there's an incredible program. I don't have television, but I was on a trip and I happened to see A Journey to Planet Earth, and there was a fabulous film about a 90-minute film about Lester Brown, Plan B, and he was talking about food issues and food security. And this is not just a light issue like, oh, we just want to eat more healthily because it's grown locally and all that. This is about the whole future of civilization, truly it is. And the famines and the things that happened in the past were directly tied to the fact that people stopped growing their own food. And they turned it over to, you know, entities, large entities, which were removed from where they were locally. And then the soil suffered. And anyway, it's you're right. You pluck one. You might think it's about a rutabaga, but it goes much, much deeper than that. So anyway, and I would recommend if anyone go to the website, National Geographic website, Journey to Planet Earth, and all of their features look amazing. But this one with Lester Brown was particularly fabulous, and it dealt with everything from food to, you know, solar energy. It was just across the board. So what you are doing as a city of Long Beach is you are being proactive about your community's health and community.
I believe we are. This is my, I have a city council that I have to answer to, and I think they're true believers in this. They have in part combined this with this entertainment aspect of things. They've put their money where their mouth is, and I think that they are true believers in this. Many people in our town have spent their lives either on a boat or digging, and this is an important way of life here. And we hope to show that to our residents, our visitors, and our summer residents. And one thing about the market is the time of it, from going from 3 to 7, is meant to cover all those people. If you're a summer visitor, you can come out in the afternoon and shop at that market and enjoy yourself. If you're like me and you get off at 5, you can go on down to the field and do your weekly shopping. And if you're coming to spend just the weekend, come on in at 5 o'clock, check in your hotel room, run on back to the field, and you know, dance with some stranger and buy some food.
That 3 to 7 time frame, I think, is really excellent, actually.
It is.
And you know what? What's great about the Columbia Pacific Farmers Market and the River People's Market starting in Thursday here in Astoria, and all of these farmers markets, you have a great audience. You're marketing to people who eat food. And guess what? Everybody eats food. We all need food. I also, at this conference, was fortunate enough to hear Scott Stratton, who is an unmarketing guru, and he's fascinating individual, and he was talking about who's your audience. If your audience is, you know, your audience is a human being, I mean, whatever you're doing, think about your audience. And everybody eats. Everybody needs to eat. You're marketing to human beings, and people are starting to care more about where their food comes from. And if we can make it simple and easy for them to have fun while they're shopping, buy their food, connect, get a recipe, then they're going to feel really good about the experience. So thank you both so much for being here today. Jane Holman, she is the manager of the new Columbia Pacific Farmers Market on the Long Beach Peninsula, which starts in downtown Long Beach on Friday, May 6th from 3 to 7 p.m. And I'm going to leave your cell phone number, Jane, if that's okay, for people who might want to call in later.
That would be fine. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you. And Gail, thanks for your enthusiasm and your good work. I expect to see you at the market, all the different markets. You're going to do the whole circuit, right?
Well, wherever there's food, you'll find me.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. And I want to thank Kathleen Morgane, who has been the engineer for this morning's program. I also want to send out a note of appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life. And then focus on those things, expand on them, on feeling good. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.